We're looking at the topic of life after death and what the Bible says about it. And in looking at this subject, we have to look at what the Bible says about the word soul. And we begin today in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28. This is a very important passage of Scripture. It talks to us about the soul, and it teaches us to have the right attitude toward life and death. Let's read these words first of all in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now let's notice the context here. Let's look at the setting. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's about to send them out on what we call the limited commission. And he warns them that they are going to face danger. In verse 16, he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." And look down at verse 21. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another." So the disciples, in going out on this limited commission, are going to be persecuted. They're going to face danger. They're going to face people who are very violent and very angry toward them, who would gladly put them to death. Now, how does Jesus encourage his disciples? What does he say to them, knowing that they're going to face this kind of situation? Well, in Matthew 10, 28, he says, "Don't be afraid." He said, don't be afraid of men, because men can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Now, folks, that shows that the soul is different from the body. The soul is immaterial. The soul is non-physical. Nobody can touch the soul with their hands. It cannot be handled with the hands or hurt by any physical object. So the soul is completely different as far as its nature is concerned from the body. The body dies, but the soul does not. Your body will decay, and in fact, it is decaying. And you stay in that body for a short while only. So Jesus said, why would you be afraid of men that can take away your physical life, but they cannot even touch your soul? They can't do any harm to your soul unless you allow them to. So Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. And Jesus is here talking about God Almighty, God the Father. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And of course, that word destroy there means the ruin that a soul will face in eternity. And Jesus is using the whole person here, the body and the soul, to represent the torment and the suffering and the misery that will take place. But notice that there is this difference between the soul and the body. Matthew 10:28 is a very important passage on this subject. Well, let's turn next to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and let's read verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now again, let's look at the setting here. Because Paul says, for which cause we do not faint. What kind of cause is he talking about? Well, as you go back to verse 8 and read through some of these verses, you find that Paul's body had received some pretty hard treatment. In verse 8 of this same chapter, Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So Paul said, we're being persecuted. And he said, we bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he's talking here about the persecution that they receive because of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, in spite of and in light of all that persecution, and regardless of the fact that the body is being persecuted, the body is being mistreated, and the body is in fact decaying, he says in verse 16, our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So the outward man is the body, and it is perishing. It is decaying. The outward body is made from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, that it will go back to the dust. So it will fully decay and return to its dust or dirt form. That is your physical body. But the Bible says you have more than a physical body. The Bible says there is an inward man. And the encouraging thing for Christians is that no matter what happens to our physical body, the Bible says our inward man can be renewed day by day. So even though the outward man is decaying, even if the outward man is diseased, even if the outward man is crippled, even if the outward man dies, the inward man lives on. And in spite of all the hardships and pains that the physical body endures in this life, the soul on the inside of a Christian just keeps getting stronger and stronger. Because the inside depends on faith. The outside depends on the health of the body, but the inside depends on faith. And that is a decision that we can make regardless of how the body feels. Paul said we're being persecuted all the time. And he said we bear in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. But he said, in spite of that, we do not give up, we don't quit, we don't faint. And even though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. And if you keep reading in chapter 4, he says in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So Paul says, yes, we have a physical body. It's temporary. It's going to decay and return to the dust. But as Christians, he said, we have a building of God, and that building of God is eternal. That building is spiritual, and our souls will go to that place in the afterwhile. C.S. Lewis once said that we oftentimes talk about having a soul as we live in this body. But he said, really, the right way to say it is that we have a body and we are a soul. That's very interesting. Do you remember this quote from John Quincy Adams, one of our presidents? Someone once asked him how he was doing one day. And John Quincy Adams, I believe, was probably in his 80s at this time. So President Adams responded, John Quincy Adams is well, but the house in which he lives at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering up on its foundation. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are much shattered, and it trembles with every wind. I think John Quincy will have to move out of it soon. But he himself is quite well, thank you. John Quincy Adams, who lived from 1767 to 1848. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture in particular, and this one is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, indeed, but the flesh is weak. Now, Jesus said you have two parts here. You have the spirit and you have the flesh. You have the spirit or the soul and you have the body. And he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, how could Jesus say that if all we have is a body? If all we are is flesh and blood, then how could Jesus say that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak? Jesus was talking to Peter, James, and John here in the Garden of Gethsemane on that fateful night before he was crucified, and he was warning them about the dangers that they were going to face. And he said, I know that your spirit is willing. I know that you have good intentions, but the flesh is weak. So what we find then is that Jesus Christ here shows that there is a difference between the body and the soul. It's interesting that world-renowned former atheist Anthony Flew, before he died, raised the question, how can you go against something that your body wants to do unless you have free will? And we would add to that, how can you have free will unless you have a soul? Now, one question that oftentimes arises when we look at this subject is, does the word soul in the Bible, and I'm talking about the English word soul, and also the Hebrew and the Greek words for the word soul that are translated soul in the Bible. Does the English word soul and the Greek and Hebrew word for soul, do those words sometimes refer just to the physical life of man in the Bible? And the answer is yes. Now, this is especially true in the Old Testament. Sometimes the word soul just refers to the physical part of man. In Micah 7, verse 1, the Bible says, my soul desired the first ripe fruit. Well, the first ripe fruit here is food, obviously, and he says that his soul desired it. The soul there represents the physical life. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 29, Abigail said to David that there is a man who is risen to seek your soul. Now, Abigail is talking to David about Saul, who was trying to kill David. So what was King Saul trying to take away from David? His physical life, which is called the soul here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 29. So, yes, it is clear that sometimes in the Bible, the word soul and also the Greek and the Hebrew words that are used for soul sometimes refer to the physical life of man and not the eternal part of man. But not always. Even in the Old Testament, we've already seen in Psalm 16, verse 10, that David talks about how that his soul was not left in Sheol or Hades. And in the New Testament, it's even clearer. In Matthew 10, verse 28, we've already seen that Jesus says that there's a difference between the body and the soul. In James 1, verse 21, the Bible says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So yes, the Bible teaches that we have a soul that will live on forever, and the Bible teaches that our soul will live forever, either in heaven or in hell.